there's something undefinable that beckons travelers back to the greater Fort Myers area in southwest Florida year after year. It feels like bare feet on soft white sand beaches that give way to gently lapping waves. It looks like the breathtaking abundance of wildlife, colorful birds, dolphins, manatees, and more, dwelling in lush mangrove ecosystems and translucent Gulf waters. It tastes like fresh coastal cuisine served at sunset at a waterfront restaurant. What will draw you back to Fort Myers? Go to visitfortmyers.com for more inspiration.
We believe in a wireless future. A future where all of your devices intuitively connect. This belief drove the design of our new wireless AirPods.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast. You are starting a GoFundMe to get my dog, Joe Coscarelli, some AirPods of music, news, and criticism. I'm your host, John Caramonica. See, okay, there's partial truth in that, and some is not true. That quote, I know everybody who's eagerly reading Twitter all the time, that's from Chris Black. Hey, Chris. So Joe, as you know, Joe's not here. Hi, Joe. Yeah, Joe's not here. Joe does the Diary of Song series in which he FaceTimes with musicians and he wears old-fashioned earphones, the Apple with the white cord. However, AirPods, that's a thing for the last 3 years. And there's a new AirPod, a 2.0, that came out maybe like a week or two ago. And I've been feeling a lot of critical energy in the universe. And now, personally, I do not rock with AirPods. I still use either the Apple, the old corded earphones, or some third party that I buy on Amazon or whatever. And also just a little product tip, little wire cutter tip for y'all. Sid Mashburn makes a beautiful leather little thingy that you can wrap the cord around, and then you have a nice little thing that you can put in your pocket and save. Yeah. So they're beautiful. They're Italian leather. They come in a bunch of colors. I very much like them. I've got like five. So that's my life. That's how I live. I've used AirPods on a couple of occasions. I don't know, man. They just look wild to me. It's hard for me to feel cool and calm and at peace with these things pointing out of my head. And I wanted to have a conversation about, was I out of my mind, or are other people out of their minds, or what is happening? Because ultimately the wireless movement will come and absorb us all, and that is fine, and I am at peace with that at some point in the future. But for now, I am holding on to my cords. We have a robust and polyvalent show talking about AirPods. So first, Brian X. Chen is going to call in. Brian reviews tech products for the Times. Then Caroline Haskins is going to call in. Caroline works for Motherboard, and she wrote a very long piece recently that I think kind of captured a lot of the negative energy around AirPods and into one big long read that kind of tackles it from a bunch of different angles. And also, a thing that we're going to do is we're going to run around the newsroom, and we are going to talk to people about AirPods or not AirPods, or what do they use for their personal audio solutions. I know that there are a lot of strong takes on either side, so we are going to roll the dice and see what we come up with out here on the second, third, and fourth floors. So starting us off, here's Brian X. Chen calling in from San Francisco. What's good, Brian?
Hey, John.
Brian is the lead consumer technology writer at the paper. He also writes Tech Fix, which is a column about fixing your problems, of which I have many. Brian, before we start talking about AirPods and wireless and whatnot, I do want to say that I'm always grateful for your writing, because what tends to happen is 6 to 12 months after a technology has been released and I finally accept that it is potentially a thing that I might want to include in my life, at least I know that at some point in the past, you have written a piece that will tell me if that's a good or bad decision. So I'm always grateful. So thank you for that.
Well, I mean, you're the person I'm writing for, John.
Yes.
I write for the late adopters, because I think the early adoption path is always the wrong way to go, right? I mean,
we just
heard about this Galaxy Fold,
right,
Samsung breaking on day one. So
yeah, tell a friend.
I think 6 months, 12 months is a good time to assess. Yeah.
Right. I mean, sometimes I go to like 2 to 3 years, but generally speaking, I feel okay about it. So, Brian, you reviewed the new AirPods, but like, before we get into the kind of the nitty gritty of the specs and the things happening with these AirPods. Can you talk to me a little bit about wireless as a category? And I want to be upfront by saying I use wired headphones in my life. I have tried AirPods. I have not taken to them. And I am a personal skeptic. However, I am trying to not bring too much of that to bear at this point in the conversation. Explain to me the wireless category, where it's been in the last couple of years, and sort of what AirPods have done to the game.
So around the time that Apple introduced the iPhone 7, they eliminated the headphone jack, as you know. So,
well, as someone who has an iPhone 6, no, I don't know that, but thank you.
Oh. I guess plenty of people from a few years ago would know that Apple introduced the iPhone 7, they got rid of the headphone jack, and that around the same time they introduced the AirPods. And they were confident to introduce the AirPods because they work so seamlessly with the iPhone. They basically come in this little case that looks like a Tic Tac box. You open the box, you pull out these little pods, you put them in your ear, and they sync with your iPhone immediately. They don't sound the greatest. They sound about as good as those cheap earbuds that they include with wires in the past iPhone. But they're extremely convenient in that you can stick the earbuds back into the case and they charge them. They can charge them multiple times. So you probably only need to charge the case once a week. So that's the basic gist of what the AirPods are. In general, in the wireless category, people have been trying to do wireless headphones for years, right? Like for over a decade, and for the longest time, they sounded awful, right? They had all this interference. You could hear all this noise in the background. They weren't good. They've gotten to the point where they're pretty good now. So not just Apple, but very many, like a good number of manufacturers are doing similar things using the Bluetooth open standard, meaning their earphones can work with any different smartphones because it's an open standard. Same kind of idea. Probably not as seamless as Apple's because Apple uses a chip that communicates with another chip inside the AirPods, but other people have, you know, just Bluetooth connectivity working with different smartphones from different brands.
Okay, so let's put it all on the table. You use the first generation AirPods in your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you transitioned over in 2016 or 2017, you never looked back. You said, these are for me, all the pros outweigh whatever cons.
It actually took me a while, John. I was actually quite skeptical, just like you are, in the beginning, because I thought, like, these things don't sound that great. There's some other, like, wireless earphones that sound better, like, you know, the noise-canceling ones from Bose, for example. It took a while, and I realized, like, wow, these things are great for talking on the phone. I'm actually talking on the phone using the AirPods right now. You know, like, you can hear me pretty well. I can hear you quite well.
Pedro's nodding in approval. Pedro, how's the sound quality? Good? All right, we're getting the thumbs up. This is not Spawn, by the way. We are not Spawn. Just throwing that out there. Anyway, I'm sorry. Please continue.
No worries. So it took a while to sell me on these because I was like, well, I look funky. People are giving me kind of dirty looks, especially when I go to the grocery store. I have these things in my ear. They're like, what the hell are those things in your ears, right? And it took me, not just me, but many, many people quite a while to become acclimated with them to the point where we felt comfortable wearing them in public. And at this point, you know, you can kind of just see them everywhere, not just at the grocery stores, but also the gym or just people walking to the subway and whatnot, you know.
Do you think also being in the Bay Area, San Francisco, Silicon Valley, do you think that you're seeing a higher percentage of folks using them?
I guess perhaps as a city guy, yeah. I mean, whenever I visit New York, I see a ton of them too. Maybe there's like an echo chamber that I'm in right now, but yeah, definitely Silicon Valley and New York, but overall, like I think they've been culturally accepted, right? And so I think I kind of accepted them at the same time that many people did. But I think the pros outweigh the cons at this point, in that, you know, they recharge themselves. I don't have to keep plugging them into something constantly, and I can just pop them back into a case and not lose them because they go right in the case. It's kind of convenient, you know?
My first concerns about the AirPods are aesthetic. I feel like they look goofy. My second concern is I would lose either an individual AirPod, which people who I know have done.
My fiance's done that, yeah.
Yeah, shouts to my friend Amelia, who like lost one down a grate, although she was able to retrieve it with a magnet and a string. So just to file that away if anybody needs that tip.
Yeah.
Or I would lose the little case. Where do you keep your case?
I keep it in my pocket, my jacket pocket, my pants pocket. Sometimes I backpack, you know. It's, I tend to be a guy who just doesn't lose small items a lot, but I know plenty of people who do. So I totally understand that concern.
I would like to be a person who doesn't lose small items. That should be like a New Year's resolution for next year.
I heard a hack though, you know, people take those tile trackers, you know, those item locating things, and they just glue it to the case. And they find the case that way. And that kind of makes it uglier and bulkier, right? But it works.
But at least it works.
I mean, there are hacks around it, but I totally understand that concern.
In your review of the second generation AirPods, mm-hmm. you talked a little bit about the difference in the new ones. Can you maybe talk people through what's changed and what hasn't changed?
For the most part, minor changes, right? So the biggest change is that there's a new model that's $200. The original one is $160. And the $200 model comes with a case that can be charged wirelessly using magnetic induction. So, you know, they've got these little charging pads out there, little stands. You're most likely going to use a pad because you need it to be flat. You make contact with the coils. So you can charge it wirelessly. That's kind of nifty, especially if you have one of the newer iPhones that have wireless charging. That's a really minor thing. They connect faster now. So when you put them in your ears, they sync with your iPhone, maybe 50% faster. I can't really say with precise, you know, calculation, but faster, you know. They sound about the same, though. And they have slightly more battery life. So for talk time, you get several hours. Back in the day, it used to be 2 hours. I think now it's maybe 3 or 4. I can't remember. But, you know, a little bit more battery time.
There is, I don't want to say a backlash, because I feel like with products of this nature, there's going to be strong pros and cons, and I don't think they come in that cyclical fashion. But I think there are some legitimate criticisms of the AirPod as a product, both performance-wise and in terms of environmental impact. So maybe can you explain some of the downsides of AirPods? And I presume other wireless headphones, although I don't know, and you could tell us.
The AirPods 2 review that I did was kind of unusual, you know, because, like, at this point, the first generation AirPods that everybody was owning started to die by the time the AirPods 2 came out.
Right. In a weird way, your AirPod 2 review is sort of a review of your original AirPod. It's like a lived experience review of your original AirPod.
Yeah, because we can't ignore that context, right? Because it's a brand new product. We've already gone through one generation, and now we know these things don't last very long. So because they have rechargeable batteries and the lithium ion gets depleted the more you charge them, they're eventually going to wear out. And then the downside is that you can't replace the battery by yourself. These things are so tightly glued together, you can't unscrew anything and just put in a new battery. You can bring it to the Apple store and ask them for battery servicing, but most likely they're just going to give you a brand new AirPod. You got to pay $50 per earbud and $50 for the case when you get that battery replaced too. Overall, about $150. These things originally cost $160, so why don't you just buy a brand new pair, right?
Right. They're disincentivizing you to try to get them, quote-unquote, repaired. I mean, that's
just and I think obvious. They know that you're probably just going to buy a new pair. You might even, you know, shell out like $40 more for the brand new generation, right?
Right.
So people have environmental concerns about it, especially when it comes to recycling. Like, how many people know how to recycle these things properly? Like, do they know to disassemble these things and detach the batteries so they don't explode inside recycling facilities?
Does Apple have a recycling program?
Apple does have a recycling program, and they say they'll take the AirPods. When I talk to them, they say that they know how to disassemble them, and that they talk to partners, like recycling partners.
With like a hammer and anvil. That's their right. That's their recycling plan. They just have a big guy with a big hammer smashing things to bits. That'd be my guess.
Probably, you know. But there have been some recyclers who say, I have no idea how to recycle these things. That's something I didn't have enough time to get into in the story because I had a word count, you know, but...
Never heard of it. So with that in mind, obviously you've got to be in touch with Apple for myriad reasons for your job. And it does seem when I read in the press, not just you, but in the press more broadly, there's always a lot of like, Apple did not reply to a request for comment or would not comment. Uh-huh. And it's like the Beyonce of tech companies. Like, you can't get any information out of them. And at a certain point, you're like, why do I even ask? But I wonder, just as a journalist, what is it like for you? I'm sure you have good relationships, but what is it like to you to basically like fire off questions into the void and kind of feel like, you know, somewhere in your heart, you're just not going to get answered?
Well, I mean, first of all, like, I owe any company a courtesy to let them have a chance to respond when I'm writing about their stuff. It's kind of similar to if I were to profile a celebrity, I need to tell this celebrity, like, hey, I'm going to point out that these criticisms that other people are saying about you, do you want to respond to that?
Yep.
Right? Just give them a fair shake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I always do, not just with Apple, Samsung, everybody. Yeah, with Apple in general, it's quite typical for them to just decline to comment. Maybe they'll point you to some resources to read as to like giving you information for what you're looking for. With the AirPod stuff, they were surprisingly mum. Mm. They were not very elaborate. And I think, you know, it's very telling. You know, they're declining to comment on whether or not, for example, like when you bring in the batteries for being replaced, whether or not you were just getting a brand new AirPod.
Right, whether,
you
know, right, exactly.
They decline to answer that question, and I think it's because the answer is yes, right? So I think you can infer sometimes when the answer is yes, and it's not in their favor.
Do you think they got caught off guard at all by the kind of like environmental critiques of this particular product?
I think they weren't really readily prepared for it because I think they themselves didn't know like how long these things were going to take before they started deteriorating. And I think they, you know, depleted faster than you know, they expected because people use them so often and go through the battery so fast, you know? So I think they weren't like, they weren't really thinking like, how do I deal with the previous generation AirPods, like in the PR around that, they're only thinking about the current ones, right?
And so in the long run, do you feel like everything is going to move towards wireless? And I don't mean just earphones. I, you know, obviously I'm talking about computers and TV, like, you know, is the goal of the people who you cover in your beat to ultimately rid us of wires?
For the most part, yes. I think for the vast majority of consumer electronics that are coming out, they're going to continue to push toward wireless, especially when it makes a lot of sense, right? Like portable speakers, whatever is mobile that goes with you should probably be wireless, right? There are going to be some things I think that are stationary that are going to continue to have wires, like, you know, desktop computers. Those are kind of antiquated, but they're still around, you know, like high quality speakers that need to be plugged in because they would suck up a lot of juice really fast, yeah. Things like that. But for the most part, anything in your pocket that goes with you is going to move toward wireless.
From a sound quality perspective, you think that they're basically on a par, not with, again, high end, but with the baseline Apple earphones that have wires?
They definitely sound just as good as the earbuds that the iPhone used to come with. They were called, what were they called again? The Air Buds? No, I forgot. But anyway, the earbuds that came with...
Wait, first of all, I wish it was called the Air Buds. And I wish that the ad campaign starred Air Bud. Shouts to all my Air Bud heads out there. You know what it is.
That terrible movie is drilled into my subconscious somehow.
Yo, first of all, all these people getting excited about a dog's journey. Let me tell you, Air Bud was there. Air Bud did that, okay?
It was ahead of its time.
That's what I'm saying. Sure. Everybody go stream Air Bud tonight and email me at podcast@nytimes.com with the jams, okay? Thank you.
Oh, man, all the nostalgia.
That's what we're here for. So you said at the end of your piece that like you weren't sure if you were going to upgrade, but I also feel like one of the takeaways from your piece is you may not have a choice because the ones that you're currently working with, the first generation, they may just, and that's it one day.
I mean, you may not have a choice if manufacturers follow Apple and not making the batteries replaceable, right? And fortunately, not everybody's doing that. Samsung made a pair of wireless earphones. I think they're called the Galaxy Buds. I haven't tried them personally yet.
Is Galaxy Buds, Galaxy Bud is the Galaxy Brain version of Air Bud. That's the sequel. I don't know if you've seen that. That's a little known.
See, it was future.
That's what I'm saying. It was little known. It was only released in Europe. Just FYI.
Yeah, they screened it in 3D. Yeah. It does come with replaceable batteries, and the people in the repair committee were giving kudos to Samsung for that. But, you know, there are plenty of people doing wireless earbuds as well that are not replaceable for the batteries. So at the end of the day, it's like wireless earphones might turn out to be kind of like buying a good pair of shoes, right? You got to replace them every now and then. And that's not really great for the environment. But I've been talking to a lot of people ever since I wrote that review, and a lot of them are willing to accept that I love these things so much that I'm okay with having to replace them every few years. And I'm still on the fence as to whether or not I agree with that, you know, like whether or not like my selfish, like, you know, like love for this product is really worth the environmental impact that it has. And the fact that like I have to keep consuming, I have to keep buying things not necessarily a good thing. So I don't know. What do you think, John?
I don't know. I mean, I'm still stuck on. I look goofy, so it's tough for me to get to. It's tough for me to get to the grand ecological implications of
that.
AirPods if I'm just out here feeling like I look goofy. So my guess, the last thing that I want to ask you is, when you first were using AirPods, how goofy did you think you looked, and then how long did it take for you to knock that number down to zero?
It's just funny because I was one of the first testers of the very first AirPods because Apple provided me the prototype before they were even done with it, right?
Yeah.
So I was one of the first reviewers. And so I went to Whole Foods and like people were seeing these for the first time. And I was checking out at the cashier. And like this cashier just gave me this dirty look, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell are these things in your ears? And like, take these things out of your ears and like be able to talk to me, so that I can ask you if you want your bag refund.
Right.
You know, like maybe
there's 10 cents on the line here. All right.
Yeah. They're definitely being judgmental. Right. And I got more, I definitely got plenty of that in the early days as I was testing these things in public. I still get dirty looks though. I would say like not as often, but like maybe one out of like 10 people I walk by are looking at them and like, what's wrong with this dude? Like when I was writing the AirPods 2 review, I was trying them at the gym. You know, and I heard people actually talking about me wearing the AirPods. Like, they thought I couldn't hear them, but you know, they're actually not that loud. Mm-hmm. But they were like, "Yeah, I can't believe that people just like immerse themselves in these products and don't even want to like be tethered in reality anymore." You know, like they're kind of like talking trash about me. So it still happened.
Well, I will say. My main takeaway from that is not that AirPods look goofy, but that you need to go to a less petty gym. That's my main takeaway. Brian, thank you so much for calling in, man. Appreciate all your dedicated labor to the cause of solving my problems 12 to 18 months later.
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, John.
Sure. Brian now has sort of given you the lay of the land. And now we are going to pivot, and Caroline Haskins is going to call in and kind of talk about some of the bigger psychosocial and ecological issues surrounding AirPods. So here's Caroline, all the way in Brooklyn.
Yep.
It's Caroline Haskins. Caroline is,
hello,
staff writer at Motherboard, a vertical, or maybe no longer a vertical, of Vice's digital properties. I'm not, there's a lot happening at Vice, but, you know, at one point a vertical. Yes?
Right, yeah. It's like, it's still vice.com/tech, and it's called Motherboard. I think vertical is still the right word. I hope it's the right word.
Right, yes. Some managing editor hopefully will not flame both of us for misusing that word. Caroline wrote a piece called AirPods Are a Tragedy. It's part of a column. It's called Future Relics. So can you talk to us a little bit about the framework? You didn't kind of come totally out of the blue with this. Talk a little about the framework of this recurring column and then why AirPods were such a good fit for it.
This is the first piece in the column, and the whole idea for the column generally sort of came out of this anger about AirPods specifically.
Okay, even better.
And because I was dying to write about AirPods, and I knew that the way that I wanted to approach it was sort of from like a macro point of view, sort of working back from the product through the supply chain, that kind of thing, and looking at like, you know, the cultural life of it as well. And so obviously, AirPods aren't the only product with a complicated life. So this is sort of the kickoff and what inspired the column in the first place. And hopefully it embodies where it's going to go in the future. But yeah, I guess it was sort of coming out of this place of like frustration.
From whence does your frustration spring? Like at what point was it 2016, like right off the rip? did it kind of slowly evolve? Were you an early adopter of the technology and then kind of came to see the limitations? Like, what was your emotional arc with AirPods?
See, I've never had AirPods.
There you go. Me neither. I should disclose to you, I disclosed to Brian earlier, I do not own, I have used them on a couple of occasions when other people around me have had them, but I don't own them.
Yeah.
Largely because I don't want to look silly, and two, I'll lose them. So
I lose almost everything.
Exactly.
So that was part of the equation for me.
Who can relate?
Yeah.
So anyway, you don't have AirPods. Okay, so even better.
But I had been obviously sort of following the memes around it and about how AirPod owners are rich.
Yes.
And then there was this one point where I was sitting in a building checking email. This was in like the West Village, like, you know, like a well-off part of Manhattan. And there was a person next to me wearing AirPods, and he was on a phone call with, I forget the exact details of it, but he was talking about how either his budget or his client's budget for an apartment was something like $8,000 or $9,000 a month.
Ooh.
And I overheard this, and I looked over, and he was wearing AirPods, and I just thought, oh, of course.
This is probably a good moment to bring up that quote by Desus Nice, Desus, who was on Desus and Mero, and I think he said, wild how Trump claims he's wealthy, and we've never seen him with AirPods.
Right, exactly.
Just throwing that out there.
AirPod owners are the richest people on earth.
Right, so Trump, maybe not, but people who can spend $9,000 a month on an apartment, definitely, definitely rich and definitely have AirPods. So can you talk a little bit about the arc of your piece, which kind of touches on tweets and memes and also science and politics? It covers a lot of the angles and approaches to this subject. So can you maybe take people through the long arc of the piece?
So I sort of start out with setting up the fact that AirPods are designed to have a very short lifespan.
Right.
After about 18 months, the lithium-ion battery inside AirPods stops holding much of a charge. And over time, they eventually just won't work. And they're designed such that, you know, all the parts are glued together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty much impossible to repair.
Right.
And because they're almost impossible to repair, that makes them almost impossible to recycle. And if you throw them in the trash, these are really flammable objects, lithium-ion batteries, so they could start fires in garbage compactors, and they do.
Is that a thing that's happened? Have there been documented cases of AirPod-related fires?
There have been cases of lithium-ion battery-specific types of fires. Remember, you know, the whole...
The exploding phones. Yeah, exploding phones.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's the same problem there.
If you put
something that's really flammable and dangerous under a big chunk of metal designed to crush it, then it will explode. But
well, it sounds fun when you say it that way. Gee,
it sounds like Mythbusters or something.
Yeah.
Except it's like inside a facility where it's just, you know, regular people working inside and putting them at risk and buildings catching on fire and stuff. So it's bleaker when you think about it more, but it's a fun image.
Yes, less fun when you say it that way.
But the fact that they're unrepairable, really, unrecyclable, you can't throw them out, and they have such a short lifespan, it really just sets this up as a product designed to project wealth for a couple of months, serve its purpose for a couple of months, and be a really convenient bridge between your phone and your laptop, et cetera, for a couple of months, but then it just won't work and it becomes the Earth's problem after that. And so after that, I talked a little bit about the means of it and the fact that AirPods have become, you know, associated with the rich. I think the favorite meme that I brought up was the one with Louis XIV and he's wearing AirPods. And
oh, yeah.
And says, oh my God, he has AirPods. He can't hear us.
Right.
And it's just the guillotine coming up behind him. But I think probably a better way to illustrate that was the image of Kanye West that's in the article, where he's like, you know, holding his laptop by the tips of his fingers and walking out of his car, and the laptop doesn't have a case on it. The picture made so many people angry, and I think about it so often because it's like Kanye West could drop his laptop, it would break, he could lose everything on it, and he would be fine. He's very, very rich. It doesn't matter to him. That's a disposable laptop to him. And I think when people buy AirPods, it's not like they're buying it saying, like, I want to look rich or I want a product that's going to, you know, start to die in 18 months.
Right.
But it's something that happens anyway. And the fact that you can lose them as well and they're so easily lost, I mean, that's a crucial part of the equation.
So what do you use personally? Since you don't use these, what do you use personally?
This is not an ad, but...
yes,
but
nothing about podcast is spun. So just, yes, no spun here.
I'm using regular Bluetooth headphones. They're fine, you know, they're okay. I've had them for a couple months. They work fine. In terms of sound quality, I really could not tell you the difference between one pair of headphones or the other.
And they have wires, or they do not have wires? They have wires.
So they have a wire connecting the different earbuds. So they're not like wireless earbuds in the way that AirPods are.
I noticed a lot of people talking about the piece that you wrote, and I wonder if you can kind of characterize the reaction to it, because part of the reason I wanted to do this episode in the first place is I felt like I was having this emotional reaction to AirPods and I don't use them, you know, it just like, whether because of their representational value or just because I thought that they were a goofy looking thing, there are these like weird technological lines in the sand and like people sort of orient themselves on one side or another. Often I, as like an extraordinarily late adopter, I'm happy to be the fuddy-duddy with stuff like this. But I feel like I saw a lot of intense reaction to your article, and I think it gave voice to this negative energy that was already out there and was being crystallized, yeah, kind of in the wake of like the 2.0 AirPod conversation.
It seems like there were sort of two camps of reactions. I mean, there were people that felt like this sort of either affirmed or outlined the suspicions that they had about AirPods in the first place, or sort of dug at the marketing that Apple has used to sell AirPods versus the reality of it. And then there are people who will really defend Apple products and what they stand for. And there have been people that have pointed out, well, the problems that you point out with AirPods aren't exclusive to AirPods.
Sure.
And
yeah, sure.
You know, that's really, it's really true.
Yeah, that's not a reason not to point them out.
Yeah, that's what I believe personally. But there's definitely been this growing sense of animosity towards AirPods. And I guess the timing of this piece sort of aligned with that.
I assume that nothing at this point could happen to make you capitulate and dive in and get a pair until maybe some of these underlying fundamental problems have been addressed.
Probably unless it was a completely different product that would probably be having a completely different name at that point. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't even be called AirPods at that point. I don't know. I'm not going to make up a name for a new product right now.
It would just be called Our Bad.
Yeah.
The Our Bad ones.
Yeah. Right. The problems are so foundational to what AirPods are as a product. It's hard to see that like a simple upgrade. And I mean, even the AirPods 2.0, they have the same problems as the regular AirPods. This isn't like a one generation glitch type of thing. They're designed this way, and the newest version of the AirPods continues these same types of problems.
There wasn't some like vision change between the 1.0 and the 2.0. It was just sort of like, it's more battery time. Congratulations. You deserve this.
Yeah, exactly. All the parts are still glued together. Right. You still need a razor blade to separate the different parts of it. You know, there's still a lithium ion battery, mm-hmm, glued to the inside. All those parts remain the same.
Thank you for calling in, Caroline. And thank you for your well-reasoned screed. I appreciate it. I was grateful for it. I felt like I needed it. I was happy to engage with it. And thank you to my friend Isabel, who pointed me to it. So thanks to her. Caroline Haskett.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So that's Caroline from Motherboard calling in.
Craft matters in small ways, like how coffee is made, or how a wooden table is built, piece by piece. And in not-so-small ways, like how your money is cared for. At UBS, we elevate investing to a craft. We deliver our services with passion, expertise, and meticulous attention to detail. This is what investing means to UBS. Not just work, but a craft. Discover more at ubs.com/craft. The value of investments may fall as well as rise, and you may not get back the amount originally invested.
I'm Julie Turkowitz. I'm a reporter at the New York Times. I have been trying to understand changes in migration. So I traveled with photographer Federico Rios to the Darien Gap, this hot, mountainous, 70-mile stretch of jungle straddling the border of Colombia and Panama.
We're hiking through a river, just like covered in mud.
Many used to think that this route was impassable, but thousands have been risking their lives to pass through the Darien, almost all in the hopes of making it to the United States. We spent 9 days hiking through the gap and weeks building trust and relationships with migrants, with smugglers, with migration authorities to even be able to do this reporting. We interviewed hundreds of people who have made this journey to try and grasp what's making them go to these lengths to find a new life. New York Times journalists spend time in these places to help you understand what's really happening there. You can support this kind of journalism by subscribing to the New York Times.
All right, so we're talking about audio today and technology, and I know someone who knows a lot about audio technology. He sits on the other side of the glass. Today, he's sitting at the table the big table.
At the big table.
Pedro Rosado. Pedro is our producer.
I am, yes.
Pedro's from companies called Headstepper Media, which I'm sure is drilled into your brain if you listen all the way to the end of podcast, which I'm sure you absolutely do.
I hope they do.
We've seen the stats.
Yes,
actually, that's
have.
A lie. Well, I haven't seen the stats.
I have.
But, all right, Pedro's seen
a lot
the
of
stats.
People do.
Pedro, in addition to producing podcast,
yes,
you have a wide-ranging set of interests and tasks associated with audio technology.
I started off in the world as a recording engineer.
Hey!
And
shout to Tommy Boy Records.
Yes, that's right.
So what year?
This was in 87-ish in there, 88. I was a baby.
Whoa.
I was a child. I had my own recording studio for a while. I have lived, breathed audio for several decades. And like you buy sneakers,
mm-hmm.
like, 'cause I noticed you have some amazing sneakers on, Louis Vuitton.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right. You probably paid a pretty penny for those,
oh,
right?
Ooh, I'm sorry. I just have to
you just gotta
twist
admire.
My ankle.
Thank
just,
you.
Just
of course.
A little, just a casual.
Exactly. Is it brush,
right.
brush them off, make
that's,
sure.
I mean, honestly, I do need a little bit of a wash.
Yes, you see?
Really, I
you
mean,
see
you,
what
know,
I'm
you
saying?
Get a lot of use out of these bad boys.
Now, you see how you feel about your sneakers?
I do, yeah.
That's how I feel about headphones.
Okay. So
they
I
are
know,
my life. They are my world.
So I know that you have the Fuego AirPods trash or not takes.
I wouldn't go near AirPods if you paid me.
Oh, tell them why you're mad.
Well, you know,
tell them why you're mad.
For one specific reason.
Woo!
Because I hate the word audiophile, but I love good audio.
Yes.
So if I want to hear something, I don't want to pay $200 for something that sounds like crap.
So I have latched onto something that I have felt kind of instinctually the couple times that I've used them, which is it is not a markedly improved audio product.
No, not by any stretch.
It may be a markedly improved efficiency product, although for me, no, but like for some people.
Right.
But as an audio product, I did not feel that it was a better product. And also because of my latent anxieties about all the other things, if anything, it took me out of the moment
right.
a little bit more.
My take on it is that it's not designed for audio. It's designed as a super advanced microphone. You heard Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Brian sounded great.
Yeah, so tell me, okay, so explain, for the people who don't totally understand the science of it, explain how that can be or why that would be. Because obviously you use the AirPods for phone calls.
Correct.
So inside the AirPods is the battery, but at the bottom is like basically a microphone that picks up your voice.
There are two directional microphones.
Yeah,
there
one
might
on
be
each.
Just one, yeah. one on each side. So you're essentially getting a stereo input, right?
Yeah.
So you're getting advanced sound, and now when you pair the AirBuds with the AirPods rather with the AirBuds. See, you've got me saying it too.
AirBud.
Yo,
I want all the AirBud memes, all of them, every last one. Hit me, podcast.nytimes.com.
When you pair it with the iPhone, they're designed to work seamlessly.
Right.
So there's going to be no nonsense. They're just going to be there. That's what Apple is selling. They're not selling quality. They're not selling how great this is going to sound. And what really drives me crazy is the idea that a $160 set of Bluetooth headphones are some sort of status symbol. I've paid $800 for in-ear monitors.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of scammy. You
so,
know?
So as we say in my side of the world, it's a light flex.
It's a light flex.
It's a light flex.
Yes, it's a light flex.
It's a light flex. It's not a real flex. It's a light flex.
It's not even a flex.
Well,
it just
that's the real. That's the real thing.
And I understand where you're coming from in terms of how they look. They look dopey.
Yeah,
that's the only way I can describe them. They look dopey.
Yeah,
and then you're doing this. You're tapping your head all the time. It looks like you got a tick. You know, like you got to do this.
Right.
And
although there is that new adoption. Like, okay, so I remember the very first time that I saw someone speaking on what I imagine this is so many years ago. This is probably. I want to say 1999 or early 2000, speaking on a microphone that maybe was attached to the earphone. Is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was called, but it was basically like.
It was just a headset, basically.
Yeah, headset, right. So I see this guy, this is when I lived in London, and I see this guy outside a restaurant, like just wildly gesticulating in the air. And of course, my immediate reaction is like.
Crazy man.
Yeah, I'm going to stay away.
Right.
And then I see a friend of mine walk up and like give him a huge hug. And I was like. I was like, this is really strange. And so later that night, I asked him, I was like, what was going on? And he was like, oh, he shows me the setup, the little right. Now, 2 to 4 years later, that was normalized.
Right.
And I didn't think it was crazy anymore. So maybe these things that we think are ticks and a little bit off right now, maybe they're fine. Maybe we'll just all be walking around like,
well, fair enough. Okay.
I mean, I'm not advocating.
No, I can see that.
You know I'm not cosigning.
But my problem with the whole situation is that the technology isn't up to snuff yet.
Right.
It isn't there. And on top of that, what everyone on this show has said so far, mm-hmm. especially the experts, you had Brian say it,
yeah.
you had Caroline say it,
mm-hmm.
there's a concern about Mother Earth.
Yes.
You're dealing with more recyclable stuff,
mm-hmm.
stuff that could explode, and then stuff that could explode that you're putting in your face.
Ooh.
So that kind of freaks me out a little bit. You know, that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
That is not part of the Kylie skincare product line.
This is what I'm saying.
I just want to say, if y'all are out there buying that Kylie walnut scrub, from what I understand, a lot of micro tears on the skin. So just imagine that, but an explosion in your face. I think that's what Pedro's saying.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
That's
Pedro, exactly thank right. you for sharing.
Thank you very much.
So here's the newsroom roulette portion of this week's episode. Strictly bangers. You're not going to be disappointed. We've been talking a lot about AirPods on this week's episode and pros and cons. And in addition to having all these informed long read opinions, I wanted to get and talk to the people. I wanted to go and touch the newsroom and see what the energy is about AirPods. Is it pro? Is it con? Is there some secret third way? Are people out here wearing soldier pods? Hello, Jeanette. How you doing? What's really going on in these audio streets? I wanted to know. And so when I walked in the office today, I went to Critics Row on my floor. And as often happens, Amanda Hess is sitting there. Amanda Hess is the critic at large in the New York Times. She is sitting there, very focused. I come in and I always distract her. Sorry about that. Publicly, I can say that now. And I was like, yo, in my mind, Amanda is a perfect person to have this conversation with. There's definitely no way that Amanda uses AirPods. And I bet she has a super considered reason why she doesn't. I bet she's thought this through. She's thought through the ethics of it, et cetera, et cetera. So I look at Amanda and I kind of nod and I say, can I ask you a question? And she turns to me and it's like a science fiction film. It's like when you see that the Borg has come alive, I see those two white lines beaming out from her head, pointing at and indicting me. Amanda Hess is here. Hey, Amanda.
Hi. I feel so exposed right now. Everyone knows that I'm an AirPod user.
It's, well, as I said, podcast is a safe space. It's, you know, the 20 to 50 to 80,000 people who listen to this on any given episode need to know what's really happening. And what's really happening is Amanda has used AirPods.
Oh, my God.
So what happened? What happened to you?
Okay. So, I mean, when AirPods first came out, I was like you.
Yeah.
I saw these people wearing it, like mostly men. At first, it was
real
only
talk.
Men.
Seriously.
You know? And
Lanes.
I was like, what is that?
Dweebs.
They looked stupid.
Goobers.
And they had the thing. It was like they were wearing cut-off headphones.
Buffoons.
Yes.
Knobs.
And I hated them. And then.
Yeah, tell us.
This is actually,
I feel like we're at Hillsong, like we're having a conversion moment. Oh, yeah, tell
this
us.
I mean, part of the answer is that I just acquiesced to like the Apple thing, where I had these other Bluetooth headphones, which I like for a certain reason, and I'll get to it in a minute, mm-hmm. that just would never sync with my Mac, my computer. And I couldn't get anything to do. And I'm sure it's like some conspiratorial thing where Apple makes it so only Apple products like truly work.
Also, just Bluetooth is like kind of a hinky technology. Like never with my car stereo, I can never get it to work. Like it's just, it's not seamless.
Not great.
No spawn.
But I've been trying to be more serious about my fitness.
Ooh.
And I talked to a few runners who use them, who really liked them. Like they stay in your ears and there's not like a wire.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to like, you know, I have like my phone like in a sock, like in my bra when
sure.
I'm running. And
right.
I wanted something that was unencumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the Apple store. And this is how little I was an AirPods person.
Yeah.
When I walked in there, I was like, do you guys have EarPods?
Yeah.
And they were like, you mean AirPods?
Wrong store.
And I was like,
they
sure.
were like, go out and try again. Come back in and try again.
Yeah. So now I wear them. And now I wear them for all of my audio needs.
What do you think of the audio quality? Is it demonstrably better or worse than when there was a wire?
Not that I can tell, but I'm also not. I'm like listening to music in order to not hear other things, you know?
Girl, same.
Definitely not an audiophile. I need something in there, and it's there. So I can't really comment on that. But I do, I mean, I don't like the way that they look, but one of the great advantages to them is that if you wear your hair a certain way, people don't necessarily know.
Is it possible that you have been wearing them this whole time for months and months, and I just have never noticed because of the bob of your hair?
Maybe, but I this is a new thing. I probably got them 2 months ago.
Oh, okay.
So maybe not.
You don't miss the old thing.
No.
And what now
I
that—
I like them. I like them.
Wow. Did you— I just want to be—I'm going to give you space to say that. Just say that again.
I like them.
Okay. Congratulate. I'm glad that you found an audio product that satisfies your needs. Do you feel like you look goofy in AirPods?
Yes, but I don't know that I feel that different from how I feel all the time, which is that I don't want anyone to notice anything about the way that I look.
Just like in jet, right?
So I try not to think about it too much, I guess. But yeah, but then I'm confronted by it when I see someone else who's wearing them, and I'm like, and I feel like either more people are wearing them now, or just because now I'm one of them, I'm like noticing.
Yeah.
Every time, and it's
them. Emphasis on them.
Yeah.
I do want to say on podcast, that's a them. It's not a we. It's a they. Anyway, please continue.
So when I see them, us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, it's an us now. Yeah, I still think it looks weird, and I don't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple's whole thing, even though I have like most of their products, I do think in a way it's evil because things are made, you know, they're making a phone that's like they're expecting their fans to want a new one in like 6 months. Yeah. And that's insane.
Yeah, they're like sneakers.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. And so now I've just learned that my AirPods may not last very long.
I know. I did. I have to be honest. I did break that news to Amanda on the walk down from four today.
I did zero research other than asking my runner friends before I bought them, so I didn't know this. So I guess now I'll be confronted by the choice again when they die.
Yeah, 1 to 2 years.
Whether I should recommit.
And I don't want to anticipate your relationship to capitalism in the year, say, 2020 or 2021. I don't know who's going to win the presidential election. There's a lot happening between now and then. But do you think there's a chance that you would reconsider on ethical, political, ecological concerns?
Maybe, but I also never thought I would be wearing them in the first place. I also now, for the exact same reason, I have an Apple Watch. I'm wearing it right now. And
I am sweating. I am sweating. I'm like unwell. I'm not hydrated enough for this. I got to be honest with you. I'm not hydrated. I'm going to have a lot of water after you leave.
I'm like tapping my wrist all the time. And the main reason that I like went to the Apple Watch is for tracking my fitness. But then, you know, it's like it congratulates you when you do certain exercises, and like that has been really validating. So now I have just a more personal relationship with it, which is not great.
This is really gotten dark.
Like it's like I'm working out like for my watch, so that my watch can buzz a little bit on my wrist, can vibrate and say, "Good job, Amanda."
Have I cried on podcast before?
Yes, actually.
Okay, fine. Not a lot, though.
An
no.
Apple. So what I'm saying
feel
is,
like I want to cry.
I mean, maybe, but also maybe in 2020, I'll have like the Apple credit card or something that I never thought that, you know, who knows? I can't say.
I don't have anything to say. I'm tapped. I'm honestly emotionally tapped from hearing about your relationship to these tech products.
I'm glad that it could come to some content use, at least.
Amanda, thank you so much for coming, and I'll pray for you.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Okay, Pedro and I, we went back out into the newsroom, and we've returned with more big fish, more big New York Times fish. Sydney Embers here. Say hi. Sydney is one of our political reporters. She's covering Bernie. She used to cover media. Sydney, you have a tale of woe about AirPods. And I just want to say, just for clarity, we've gone into the newsroom and we're soliciting real stories from real people, but we weren't looking for pro or con. We just wanted to know people who had real life tales. And boy, do you have one.
I have a tale.
Speak your piece.
So I got my first pair of AirPods in the fall of 2017, and they immediately did not work. They never connected to my phone. I would get to the gym all excited to work out with my new AirPods, and it would be like, you know, 2% battery on one of the AirPods, and then would take forever to charge. Something was always wrong. They wouldn't connect.
Shedding the thugs tear for that first pair.
It was terrible. Oof. And so I gave them to my husband because I was like, these are so frustrating.
Wait, so your husband could suffer?
Well, he said that they like worked for him, sort of. I don't know.
I don't know. We might have to call and get both sides.
He doesn't mind them as much as I do. Okay. So anyway, so a year passed. I get a new phone.
What were you using in the interregnum?
No, like regular plug-in.
Just with a wire.
Totally.
Just a humble wire.
A humble wire. Yes. Getting caught on things.
Great.
Fly out of my ears.
Just like the 2000s.
Yeah. So a year passed. I got a new phone. I'm like, this is the time. I should take my old AirPods in because they're still not really working and see if Apple will fix them for me.
Sure.
So I bring them in and they're like, no, these are totally broken. You can buy two new AirPods and a new case, but that's more expensive than just buying a new pair of AirPods. And then they're like,
it was terrible.
And so they were like, let me see if we can order a new pair for you and you can go pick them up. Well, apparently they were very popular. This was, I think, early this year.
Okay.
And they weren't available in any stores in Manhattan for like weeks. And I was like, what?
Apple
like,
supply
what,
chain
what's
much?
Going on? So I'm like, all right, whatever. I go home, I order a new pair online, and they arrive. And they also don't really work. Now, at this point, I think it's like, it's me, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
No, what could you do? It's supposed to be a seamless experience.
Totally.
It's not you.
I don't know. So again, it doesn't connect to the phone.
Like in all relationship things, it's not you, it's them.
I don't know what was going on. Right. So I'm like, this is so frustrating. I can't believe this. Am I doing something wrong? I turn to my husband, I say like, these ones don't work too. It's got to be me. He's like, it probably is you. You know, you're doing something wrong. Like maybe I'm like putting them in too soon after I use them. So like, I don't know.
But those shouldn't even be problems. Let's be honest. If that is the problem, that shouldn't be a problem.
So, all right. So he had gotten as a gift a new pair of AirPods because, as I said, my old pair wasn't really working.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, so he got a new pair. So he was like, why don't we trade?
Yeah.
You can have my pair because I never have problems with them and I'll take your problematic pair.
Right. Good husband.
He's wonderful.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any problem with my pair. And his pair, which I now am using.
Still.
Yeah. They're a little better, but I still like will frequently open it and it's like, you know, one has 100% charge and one has 2% charge.
What?
And it makes no sense. And yeah, like I you know, adjust it or blow in it or something and then
jiggle it in the floss container. Shake it.
Wipe it.
Oh, you definitely gotta wipe it.
And then usually it'll like, you know, charge again, but then I have to wait, you know, 10 minutes. And the last thing I really am finding frustrating is whenever I'm on a call, I like to use them when I'm on calls because I get free hands, especially when I'm doing reporting and stuff, and they don't really work. Like, it always doesn't sound great.
Yeah.
And
audio quality is...
It's not that good. Nah. Yesterday, I was walking home from work, and I called my mom. I haven't talked to her in a little while. I called her, and I was like, I can't hear my mom. Like, maybe it's her phone? You know, I don't know.
Damn, you just watched your mom on podcast. Okay, cool.
But
no problem.
Totally. So I'm like, let me call you back. I'm going to call the home phone because I was talking to her on her cell phone and did that. Still didn't really sound good. So I just took him out and I put him back in my pocket and I old fashioned held the phone up to my ear. And
so one of the things about the AirPod situation right now is people are like, oh, they're like ecologically problematic and you can't take them apart, et cetera, et cetera. So at some point, and the batteries will die. Like, they will deplete to the point where they're not feasible to use. Do you feel confronted with whenever your next decision node of purchasing either a new pair of AirPods or, like, going back to the cord or something else, do you feel committed to the wireless or do you feel like you're just going to be like, nah, the hell with all that?
I'm not committed to the wireless, but I will admit that because AirPods have become cool with air quotes, like, I kind of still want to use them.
Okay.
This is why I've had multiple pairs of them, but they don't work, so I
don't
know.
What if I told you that they're not cool, they're goofy?
Yeah, well, that's, you know, they look like Q-tips in your ears.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you look like Giuliani.
Right.
You look like the weird, like, whing.
Yeah, and the one thing I do like about cordless headphones, mm-hmm. like maybe there's a better solution than AirPods, is like, real. I like that you don't have the wire.
Yeah, of course.
But the wire really doesn't fail you, so I don't know.
I hope you're able to arrive at this crossroads and emerge on the other side a more whole person in whatever form that takes for you.
Me too. Me too.
Thank you, Sydney.
Thank you.
On our scout, Pedro saw this gentleman wearing AirPods proudly in the newsroom. We had to bring him on. Ron Lever's here.
Hello.
Ron, Pedro saw you with AirPods in your ears, invited you to the room. You're here. You're caressing the case. You're like Tyler Henry channeling. You're going to tell a story about the deceased great-grandmother of the person who invented that. You're in your feelings about these things. Speak on it, because you had no shame. You were out here in the office rocking them. So speak your piece.
I've stopped caring whether people think I'm some kind of tool for wearing them sometimes. I've gotten over that.
Strong podcast recommendation right there. Be your truest self. Be yourself. Doesn't matter what other people think. And if people think you're washed, maybe you are. It's fine. It's okay. It doesn't matter. Just be yourself.
Thing I'm worried about the most before I did this is that I was looking for a running solution, both a treadmill running solution and an outdoor running solution. Mm-hmm. Some headphones don't work for both use cases.
This is your first wireless?
First
solution.
Wireless, yes. Right?
Right. And so, you've had these for how long?
I've had them for maybe 4 or 5 months.
So prior to that, all your running stuff was with cords.
Yeah. And I had a whole collection of $10 cords that were constantly getting lost, but I didn't care because they were $10. And so I had one that I kept in my work backpack and one that I kept at this place at home and one that I kept at that place at work and then at this satellite office. And, you know, it just, you know, I was never without them. So switching to something where I only had one was like a little bit of a mental leap. Like, could I take care of this thing, especially so small, right?
That's what I'm saying. Where you keep it, like, it's, you know, like you say, you kept your other ones in multiple, you had multiple ones in multiple locations. This is like a newborn. You have to constantly be mindful of where it is. You can't leave it at that. It's
a logistics exercise.
It's a Tamagotchi. Right? You know, it's a whole thing.
Now, my feeling about it is that unless you're super type A and responsible, the only way this works for you is if you have a bag that is constantly with you.
True story.
The case lives in a certain pocket in that bag, and it never leaves. You take it out to charge it, but that's it. And you always charge it in the same place, right? So it becomes almost a part of your routine.
So you
got
to secure the bag. That's number one. Dedicated podcast listeners know if that bag is a backpack, that's great. If it's a clout pack, that's fine. If it's a fanny pack, at least for the last 18 months, it's been fine, although I can't vouch for it in the year 2020. Anyway, you've got a bag and you feel good about it.
I do, although I'm waiting for the critical shopper on fanny bags.
That's honestly, I've struggled with whether or not to do one because I personally would not, although if I have to be honest, and we're really going to go niche right here, soon I'm going to be coming up on possibly copying a Guidi version of that kind of like crossbody situation that I saw recently that I'm going to go see in person in about a week that was flames.
Wait, but does that count as a fanny pack or is that a shoulder pack?
Here's the thing. The fanny packs as they are currently worn are often worn crossbody. And then what happened is from a designer perspective is they started reorienting the shape. So it's not a classic fanny, but it does serve roughly the same function. So in my mind, they're all serving the same things. Anyway, if y'all see me out here sometime over the summer, just respect my swag. That's all I'm saying. Like, just don't, no critiques. Just respect my G. Thank you. Anyway, you have a bag that you're fine about.
Yeah, I've got a backpack. It's functional, and this lives in the top exterior pocket. Mm-hmm. And that backpack does not generally come to the gym with me. Okay. So I have to take the case out of the backpack.
And then
you be a little nervous.
Do you hold in your hand?
I have a little gym bag. It goes in there, right? The headphones come out. They immediately go back in the bag. And then there is what we refer to as the landing strip at home. We learned about that from apartment therapy. Every apartment should have a landing strip, right? Where you unload and unfurl all of the important things, wallets,
by the front door.
Keys,
console, right? Like a console table.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right?
Love a console table.
So the case goes there. That's where it goes plugged in. And then it just becomes a routine. It always comes with me when I leave the house in the same way that the keys come and the phone comes.
Have you ever forgotten it?
I've never forgotten it when I needed it.
Okay.
I have lost track of it more than once now, mm-hmm. right? So the system is not perfect.
Right.
I was way late at an airport hotel and went for an unexpected run and then an unexpected meal right after the run mm-hmm. and then left the headphones without the case on the table where I was eating. And then I went to the airport and checked in, and then my flight was delayed further. And then I realized I didn't have them. And then I had to go back to the airport hotel and I tore the mattress upside down because I was sure it was upstairs and I'd forgotten. Right. Right? This will happen to
you. And where were they?
They were, in fact, at the restaurant. I'd left them there. I hadn't even realized it.
The entire situation was extremely swagless. I'm so sorry. That
right.
was tough.
And so the fact that I have already put little ugly labels on this beautiful piece of machinery where one label says Ron and one label has...
Wait, okay. Ron, first of all, I want to say a couple of things. One, I respect your writing.
Thank you.
I respect your writing. I respect what you do. I respect your commitment to increasing the financial literacy of your readers, myself included.
But
you literally have, this is like what you put around your cat's neck.
I mean, I don't
This
have
is literally,
any,
it says Ron. I'm not going to read your number on Bobcast, but it has Ron's, if y'all have Ron's, here's the thing, if y'all have Ron's number, you know who also has Ron's number? It's whoever's holding his AirPods, because it's right here on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's one way to get them back if you lose them, maybe.
Yeah, but don't you think if someone found them, they would probably, since they're so expensive, they would just call you to be like, I got your AirPods. You
we'll find out. I'll come back again.
Okay.
If it ever comes to that.
We're going to have to do a follow.
So, you know, it adds a little more thinking to my life, but I have to say, you know, the functionality and the sound quality is in fact 15 times better than my crappy old wired
one. Is that true? Because I didn't find that. And I'm not like a crazy audiophile, but like I found like, I still use the basic Apple. I mean, I have an iPhone, first of all, while we're putting ourselves on Front Street, I have an iPhone 6. This is like from 1943. I don't know when this was from. Still has a headphone jack. I just plug the basic, whatever came with the thing, plugging it. So I'm not out here looking for like majestic sound. But I didn't find, like I've used these on occasion, the AirPods, and I don't find them markedly better than those.
I'm talking about phone audio quality. Music audio quality, I too am not an audiophile, but I'm willing to bet that you notice more difference in, music sound quality than I do. I don't listen to as much music on my phone as I do in other places, and so that just wasn't important to me.
Sure.
And so I didn't, I've never felt the need to have $500, headphones from Beats or Sony or whatever.
And you feel committed to these now?
I think so. There was a point at which when I thought they were lost during that 37-minute panic between the airport and the hotel and tearing the room apart with housekeeping staff.
Again, deeply swagless. I'm so sorry.
Where I was thinking, all right, I'm going to switch to the $50 wireless things and maybe have a couple pairs of those. Or I'm going to look at the things that apparently you can now get from China that look exactly like this, except they're $20.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's out there.
I
don't know how much they
get
suck.
Get your Alibaba on, your AliExpress. Yeah. Although with tariffs.
Right. Who knows what happens now?
Yikes. They really messed up the bootleg game.
Yeah. But could we just have one other conversation about a thing that I have not solved for?
Yeah, please.
Can we talk about earwax? Is that allowed here?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I thought you'd never bring it up.
I'm a pretty waxy dude.
Speak on it.
Some people are.
I just want to say, Popcast is a safe space for a variety of things, but male intimacy is 100% safe. So go in.
It's not at all clear how to de-wax these things.
Wow.
With the right... sort of
Q-tip
liquid. Q-tips are too big and blunt.
Mm.
I feel like toothpicks are probably necessary
God
to do the clean.
Wait, can you rub? Can you put rubbing alcohol on them?
Yeah, but how do you get the rubbing alcohol on in just the right place such that the wax will be removed, but the alcohol does not end up inside.
Damn.
I just don't see how that's possible. And so I'm sure the geniuses in Cupertino thought of this, right?
No,
and they dipped these things in earwax for 5 years. And no, wait, what am I talking about?
Yeah.
This is Apple planned obsolescence.
Absolutely.
These things will totally go to crap, right?
They're in the process as you hold them.
2 years,
going to crap.
2 years in one yes. day, right? Because the warranty's probably for 2 years, right? Right? You know, and then they'll be done and I'll have to get new ones. That's exactly
literally
what'll
can't
happen
believe
because
have,
Apple.
I cannot believe we've gone this entire episode and not once talked about earwax. And I can think of no better way to conclude it. Thank you, Ron. I guess that is our show.
Hey.
Oh, Joe, what are you doing here? Have you been here this whole time?
I'm everywhere.
Man, this is weird. This is really strange. I guess I'll just have to ask, since you're here, like, would you buy AirPods? Would you cop AirPods?
Only if they come in all black.
You can listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Email us your AirPod trauma tales or I guess love stories. Like, we're open to love stories at podcast@nytimes.com and subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio content. iTunes, Stitcher, etc., etc. Our producer and partial guest today, Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media, with a quick assist from Brad Fisher. We'll be back next week.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.